The following is an encore episode of Hour 2 of the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. We hope you enjoy. Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881 and share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back to the Turley Frequency. And wasn't that fascinating speaking to Michael Hessman there live from the Vatican about all those wonderful archaeological sites related to Our Lady? And we just scratched the surface, you know. I mean, I've spoken to Michael before, and he's one of those people that you would just love to have at a dinner party. The problem is that if you had him at a dinner party, everybody else sits there in silence because he is a wealth of really interesting knowledge. And I mean, a man for who's published 38 books in 14 languages, you're in for a good time. And he has a wealth of knowledge. But it's those things that sometimes we think, oh, that's just a legend. That's just something, that's a story, something to do with our faith. It's just kind of, when in fact, there's hard archaeological, historical evidence for these things. And the way that he linked, which I'd forgotten about, the linkage between the house in Ephesus and the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich, who's better known to most of us as the visionary who inspired the Mel Gibson film, The Passion. It all starts to come together in all sorts of wonderful ways. Now, we're coming together in prayer because we are now going to be invoking, asking, begging the divine mercy in whatever the situation is that comes to hand. And we are here praying for you, you listening at this moment, whether you're listening live or on the encore presentation this evening, we are praying for you. If you're listening, you're being prayed for. But if you're listening and you've got something on your mind that you would particularly like to have prayed for, then do give me a ring. Or as we say in London, give me a bell on 888-928-0881 or text me on 251-928-2111. Now, can I thank everybody who prayed for me yesterday? Because I feel so much better. And I'm thinking of Edith, and I'm thinking of Sherry, and maybe even Mike prayed for me yesterday. And I feel so much better today. I may not sound any better, but I feel better. So thank you for anybody who prayed for me yesterday.
You're welcome. You sound great.
Thank you, Mike. Now, while I've got you there, Mike, do we have a prayer partner today?
Yes, we do. We are delighted to be joined again by Shannon Garner. Shannon, welcome.
Thank you.
Shannon, I have to ask, how's your little charge, your little darling?
She's doing great, and she is planning on coming to pray with you while she's out on Christmas vacation.
That's wonderful. You better tell everybody who she is. This is Charlie, right?
Yes, this is my youngest daughter. She's a fourth grader at Christ the King in Daphne.
You know, it was so wonderful when Shannon came in with Charlie because I didn't know who Charlie was. And Charlie came on and started praying. And I thought, wow, this is a very together young person. And then I asked Charlie how old she was. And how old is she, Shannon?
She's nine.
She was nine. You could have knocked me down on with a feather. 9 years old, and she's on the radio praying the divine mercy. I said to Charlie, I can hardly write my name at nine, and she's on the radio broadcasting around the world. Yeah, so give her our very fine regards, Shannon. And if you're listening on the playback, Charlie, we miss you. Come back. Come back and pray with us. And bring all your friends with you. Bring your whole class with you one day, and we'll pray with a whole lot of them. And I hope Elsie's feeling better. I know you prayed for Elsie, I think, Charlie, the last time you were on. It was very sweet of you, so we pray for her. Good. Well, Shannon, you are no stranger to the Divine Mercy, and on this wonderful feast day. Do you celebrate the Immaculate Conception in a big way in your household?
We attend Mass, but with the school day and all the challenges that three children's activities can bring in a day, that's about all we have time for.
Absolutely. Well, you've turned up here today with me, which is another way of celebrating it. So that's wonderful. So, Shannon, who have you brought with you today to pray for what?
Today, I wanted to pray for a childhood friend of mine. She had a baby at 26 and a half weeks. His name is Quinn. He's been in the NICU for the last 2 months, but he keeps growing stronger and stronger each day. And so I want to pray for him today.
Okay, well, that's wonderful. We'll start with that, Shannon. We'll probably come back to you if that's okay. But sure. I think young Quinn. And what's your childhood friend's name?
Her name is Haley, and her husband's name is Eric.
Haley and Eric. Well, we'll pray for the Haley and Eric as well. And young Quinn, is that their first child?
No, this is their third. And this child is actually being kept at a hospital that is quite a distance from their home. So they need all the prayers they can get, just juggling the challenges of visiting their son daily.
Yeah, it must be a very worrying time, really. Are they in the are they local to Mobile or Fairhope? Or?
They are in the Louisiana area.
Louisiana. Okay. Well, if you're listening, Eric or Haley, maybe listening on the playback or Shannon sends you this, then know that we were very happy to pray for you both, for all the ups and downs of traveling to the hospital, but also for young Quinn. Great name. Young Quinn sitting up. Hopefully he'll get better. He'll be all right. And if we pray for him, everything will be all right. Not to worry. Okay. So, Shannon, shall we start?
Let's do it.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. And then together, Shannon. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hours of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. So we'll say this first decade now for Quinn, for his parents Haley and Eric, and for all their children. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Shannon. Now, I've had a text from Patricia. Patricia listening in, Daphne. And it was a lovely text. Patricia had texted me with the sign-off name of War Eagle. And I think it was on the first day that the show ran. And I thought War Eagle was her name. And I thought that maybe she was a Native American, like Sitting Bull. You have War Eagle, you know. So I thought, well, America's America. You probably have somebody called War Eagle. Well, Patricia wrote to me saying, I need to explain. So she explained that War Eagle is the battle cry of Auburn University football fans.
That's correct.
But we prefer here, Kevin, saying Roll Tide. It's Roll Tide on this station.
Well, okay, we'll get to that. We don't want to get lost in the minutiae. We're all Catholics on this earth. But Patricia was explaining this to me very nicely, and she said she hoped that someone at the station would have explained it to me. Now you know why, Patricia, they didn't explain it to me, because War Eagle was like a red rag to a bull for some at the station. No names, but for some at the station. But anyway, thank you for your kind thoughts, Patricia. And I'd like to pray this decade for you, for your family, for your intentions, whatever they may be. And so much, so glad you're enjoying the Charlie Frequency, and keep listening, regardless of any of the football rivalries that take place in Lower Alabama. As far as I'm concerned, you're all God's children. So we'll pray for you, Patricia. Now, that's Patricia in Daphne. Okay, is that all right, Shannon?
That sounds good.
This one's for Patricia. Okay. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you so much, Shannon. Now, we are going to go to this third decade, and we haven't got any requests in. This is amazing. If you're listening now, and you must have something that you want to pray for. I mean, I've got a list as long as my arm I could recite on air, but this is your show. I want to pray for you. So 251-928-2111. Well, we've got three decades left, all right? I'm going to go to Shannon now and get Shannon, because she's here, she's going to get all these prayers that you could have got, okay? But she's going to get them now. But there's two decades left after that, and it's your opportunity to phone in on 888-928-0881 or text me on 251-928-2111. And you've still got an opportunity for us to pray for you. Whatever it is, that you win the Powerball, I don't mind. We will pray for you, whatever it is. No, nothing too small, too large, too trivial, too whatever. We'll pray for you. Okay, Shannon, what else?
I would like to pray for my friend Daphne's child, Mabry. She was diagnosed with cancer back in September and has been going through chemotherapy. And just to pray for her and her whole family as they go through this tough and challenging time.
Yeah, that's a really hard. How old is Mabry?
She is a tween, somewhere in the 12 to 13 year old range.
Wow, that must be really hard on Daphne.
Yes, and they have, I believe, they're a blended family of six, I believe. So.
Mm-hmm. Is Daphne a woman of faith?
She is. Very strong faith.
Would she be listening now?
No, she wouldn't even know that I was praying for her. I'm not quite sure that she knows that I've moved, but I've been following and praying for her and her daughter. I've seen it on Facebook, and so I just wanted to add them today.
Sure. Well, look, I mean, it's a matter for you, Shannon, but I mean, if you let Daphne know we prayed for her, I'm sure she'll be delighted. I mean, if somebody told me they were praying for me, I'd be delighted, and it might just help her at this time. I mean, we'll pray for Mabry. We'll pray for the treatment she's undergoing. We'll pray that the doctors will be able to, and the medical staff will be able to help her at this time. And But we also pray for Daphne, for her peace of mind, for her ability to maybe draw closer to Christ in this cross. It is a cross, be under no illusions. So that's a wonderful intention, Shannon, and thank you for bringing that. So let's say this third decade now for Maybury and for Daphne. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Shannon. Let's turn to Mike. Mike, I know you want to pray for all Auburn University football fans.
Of course.
But anybody else?
Like you said, we're all God's children.
Except on match day, right?
Yeah, right. Except on the Iron Bowl, and that's when that game is played. No, just kidding. Yes, I would like to play. Would like to pray for a couple by the name of Tom and Sue Edwards. They're the in-laws of one of our guests that we had on today, this morning, actually, Rob McFarland. They're his in-laws, and Tom had suffered a heart scare a couple of months ago, and his wife, Sue, is undergoing like valve replacement, some kind of something to do with her heart, valve replacement surgery. I think that's what it was. So she's in Birmingham, and that's where she's being operated on. But anyway, just wanted to pray for Rob McFarland's in-laws, Tom and Sue Edwards.
I think that's a wonderful intention, Mike. Tom and Sue, if you're listening, or if this is sent to you on the replay or whatever, know that the Archangel Radio prayer family were very, very happy to commend you to God, commend you to the divine mercy at this time with all these various health scares, worries, health problems. I think it's probably a good opportunity, Shannon, as well, to pray for everybody who's in hospital or everybody who's undergoing treatment. Anybody who's about to be operated on or going in for surgery of some sort. It's a very tense time in those situations. So is there anybody, Shannon, that you can think of that's in a medical situation at the moment which is kind of urgent?
I would pray for my mother-in-law, Sonia. She is battling cancer along with some kidney issues, which is making it challenging at times. So she is in and out of the hospital, sometimes weekly.
Yeah, it's difficult. That's difficult. Has she been battling that for a long time?
She has. It's been quite a long time, and it's just taken a toll on her body.
Yeah, yeah. Is she a woman of faith?
She is.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Sonia, if you're listening, or if this is relayed to you in some ways, know that we prayed for you as well. So Tom and Sue and Sonia and everybody who's in hospitals throughout the Archdiocese of Mobile. We also pray for the doctors, the nurses, the caregivers, everybody who's helping. The people also who, the ambulance drivers, the people who bring people to hospitals, the people who do those little acts of kindness, which I know when you're ill or in hospital can mean an awful lot to you. So we pray that the Holy Spirit will guide everybody in these places, that they become really places that help the sick, and that you know, a sick person can be such a way in which we can encounter Christ both in our sickness but also in our ability to care for the sick. It's a wonderful way to help others. Okay, Shannon, shall we say this fourth decade together?
Yes.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
and atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Shannon. That is great. We still don't have any calls. or any messages. So I think this last decade, we're going to say for everybody who's listening, anybody out there who's listening to us now, we're going to pray for you. Whatever your intentions are, they may be very private, known only to you and God. Or there may be things which you've shared with others that you're on your mind or worried about, whether it's health issues, financial issues, job issues, or family issues. One of the things that keeps coming up in this prayer is mothers and fathers, parents, grandparents, worried about the faith of their children and their grandchildren. And we'll pray for all of that today. I'd like to pray for everybody who's been a prayer partner, including Shannon, today. I'd like to pray for Sherry for organizing all that, and for Mike, who's been wonderful at sorting them all out and getting everybody on air and that sort of thing. And I'd like to pray for everybody at Archangel Radio, Ellen, Michelle, and everybody behind the scenes who makes these programs possible. I'd like to pray for our sponsors. I'd like to pray for the board and for the donors, the people who very kindly keep the lights on and the transmitters broadcasting across the world effectively. So whoever you are, you know who you are. We're very happy to pray for you today. Okay. Now, as I say that, there's a message comes through. So I love it. So Gail, you've just messaged, and thank you for that. She says she can't get through by the phone. That's okay. But you want to request prayers on this special feast day for your daughter, Elsie, who is being diagnosed with cancer. She is near the completion of treatment, but with a grateful heart, I thank the mercy of Jesus for her recovery from this dangerous disease. Gail, I am so glad that you texted us. I really am. And we would be delighted to pray for Elsie. And really, I think what you're suggesting, Gail, is that we give thanks. We give thanks that she's completed her treatment and that she's recovering from this. So Gail and Elsie, we will lift you up to the Lord today and pray very much that his sacred heart will enfold you at this time, give you peace, and you will know the joy of knowing our Lord and Savior. And you're absolutely right, Gail. No better day. Feast of the Immaculate Conception. A mother's love on this day. Absolutely. So wonderful. Thank you for contacting us, Gail. And we will now pray this final decade for you and for all the previous intentions for everybody who's concerned and about working with or listening to Archangel Radio. Is that all right, Shannon?
Sounds great.
It sounds like good news from Gail, doesn't it?
It does. It sounds like she is blessed to celebrate her birthday this year.
Absolutely. That's right. And such a special feast day, she says. So, Gail, you've made us all very happy here. Thank you. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And then we conclude this prayer together. Holy God.
Holy Mighty One. Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God. Holy Mighty One. Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God. Holy Mighty One.
Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. And then we say three times, Shannon, O my Jesus, I trust in thee. O my Jesus, I trust in thee.
O my Jesus, I trust in thee.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Shannon, it's been an absolute pleasure having you back.
Thanks for having me.
And do say hello to Charlie for me and tell her to bring all her friends to the studio the next time.
Tell her
to bring the whole class. Don't listen to anything Mike says.
Bring the whole class. I don't know how Mike would feel about that, but
I'm fine with it.
Sure, they would love it.
Well, I mean, it might be an outing for the whole school.
I love kids, so bring it on, please.
Well, she could bring maybe five or six of her classmates, and they could all come in, and they could all take a decade each, and we could pray for their families and stuff. It'd be wonderful.
Yeah.
You see, Charlie is a veteran now. She's a seasoned broadcaster, so she can guide her little classmates.
Oh, yeah, she would love that.
Will do. Seriously, that'd be great fun. You have to get permission from her teacher, but I'm sure they wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
That's great. All right. Well, listen, Shannon, thanks very much. And do come again. It's been a real pleasure praying with you.
It was great talking with you.
Thank you so much. Well, isn't it wonderful to pray together? It's just such a joy. And we're going to keep the Marian theme going in story time. I've got an amazing story for you. You're not going to believe it. I know I say that every day, but it's true. These stories are amazing because they show that our faith is real and it really does impact on people's lives. And the story I'm about to tell you is about its impact on a whole nation, the nation of Poland, and a wonderful Marian miracle. So that's coming up next here on the Turley Frequency, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. Stay with me.
I'm Diane Martino.
And I'm Jenny Carr. We are broker owners with Exit Realty Landmark.
Our team of professional realtors can help get you home.
Whether buying or selling, our goal is to make the process smooth from contract to close.
Ready to make a move? Contact us at 251-463-1122 or exitlandmarkal.com.
Hashtag Diane and Jenny sells.
Exit Realty Landmark. See why we are a family disguised as a real estate company and your connection from the Eastern Shore to the beach.
When your heating or cooling system bites the dust, you're in trouble. It's getting too uncomfortable outside and inside to put off replacing it any longer. So let Farnell Heating and Air help. When you replace your old unit with a new system, you'll pay a whole lot less on monthly utility bills. So call Farnell Heating and Air at 251-471-2674 for a quick, easy replacement. That's 474-2674 or online at farnellac.com.
Coach Philip Rivers on Faith and Football.
It's way bigger than the football part of it.
I want them to, and we want them to grow in virtue and all those traits that correlate in both football, which is why I love the game, and life and your faith and being a father one day and a husband. It's all the same, you know, the toughness, the sacrifice, the discipline, the handling adversity, the teamwork, all those things you can bring out and grow in by playing more than just football, all high school sports, in an environment that's cultivated the right way. So that's what we want. We want them to have a great experience playing with us. And then we also want them to look back and go, you know what, I'm better for having played football. I'm a better person now than I would have been if I had not played at St. Michael's.
Archangel Radio, continuing your Catholic education, high school and beyond.
When we return to the Catholic faith, that's where it starts, at the foot of the cross.
Yes, welcome back to the Turley Frequency, and we are very much celebrating our mother today, the Blessed Mother, and it's a real Marian theme running through this show, and it's going to continue with this story. Now, I came across a news item last month, which was as bizarre as any I've come across in recent times, and you may have read about it. It happened in Texas, and it was about the bombing of a provocative Lenin sculpture. I don't know if you've come across this. I hadn't really. I didn't know you had statues to Lenin in Texas, of all places. And the FBI, I believe now, are investigating this. It's a rather bizarre story. The damage wasn't particularly acute to the statue. And the statue is on private property. And I think that blew his toe off or something. But anyway. Why am I talking about Lenin on this day? Because the story I want to tell you involves the Russian dictator, the architect of the Russian Revolution. And let's not forget that that Russian Revolution took place at the same time as the apparitions at Fatima. As you know, the apparitions at Fatima happened over a number of months. And the Russian Revolution also happened over a number of months, and they coincide. And they are the two, if you ask me, I think they are the two hinges upon which the history of the 20th century runs. Now, many historians will poo-poo that in terms of Fatima. But as we've been talking all along throughout this show, there is two histories. There is the history that you read about in the textbooks and the history that the television and the newspapers print. And then there's a secret history. There's a history which is known to those with eyes of faith. And they can see other currents, other movements within them. And the story I'm about to tell you is one of those incidents when history, public history, history in the textbooks collides with something supernatural. And for my money, it's the supernatural that wins out. So 1917, Russian Revolution, the Bolsheviks take power, and Russia becomes a communist country. Now, as you know, communism's aim was for a worldwide socialist revolution. That's what it wanted, very much. People like Trotsky, they wrote about this, and they desired this. And it was deemed that the first victim of the Soviet Union, as it was now called, Russia was no longer Holy Russia. It was this Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. And part of its international crusade was to invade Western Europe. And to do so, it had to attack through Catholic Poland. And by the spring of 1920, Poland was very much under attack from the Soviet Red Army. Now, many of you will know that the chief Marian shrine in Poland is Częstochowa, Our Lady of Częstochowa. and candles were lit and desperate prayers were intoned before the icon of the Black Madonna to protect Poland, begging the intercession of Our Lady of Częstochowa as never before. Because the Soviet Red Army were a formidable fighting troop. And by May 20, 1920, they had crashed through the Polish frontier very easily and destroyed all in front of them in terms of the Polish military. And the Red Army had one intention, and that was to destroy Catholic Poland. Now, if that sounds a little bit over the top, let me explain. You see, the Bolshevik leaders had met in Moscow just a few months prior to this, in what was known as the Second Congress of the Communist International. And at that, the Bolshevik leaders, the communist leaders, had planned for a socialist-inspired world revolution, which was going to start with the nations of Central Europe, such as Poland and Germany, and then move to France and England and so on. And this was the plan. This was the game plan. So it was at that Congress that Lenin ordered that Warsaw, the capital of Poland, be taken without delay. Poland was going to be a stop on the way to Western Europe, principally Germany and France, and thereby the whole of Europe would be plunged into the red Bolshevik nightmare. Now, the Red Army, as I say, they broke through the frontier, the Polish frontier, and they headed to Warsaw. And they advanced along the banks of the Vistula River. Now, the Vistula River flows from Poland to the Baltic. From the Baltic to the southernmost part of Poland. And it's upon the shores of the Vistula, or the banks of the Vistula, that Warsaw stands. So it's a natural break, if you like, a natural frontier. So as the Red Army advanced towards the Polish capital, and the Polish army were in disarray, and the Polish government were frantic and worrying about what they could do, they appealed to the Western powers. They appealed to France and to Britain and said, "Help us." The requests for aid got no response, except the British Prime Minister Lloyd George, as he was then, told the British Parliament that Poland had to, quotes, accept her fate, close quotes, which meant that there was going to be no British help, and that Poland, like some other countries on that bordered Russia prior to the revolution, they would just have to accept the fact that the communist revolution had taken over. To those both inside and outside Poland, it looked as if only a miracle could save that land. Now, do you remember we talked about the difference between the history that you read about in books and the history that we know as Christians, that we see the salvation history played out even in our own day? Well, maybe that was what was going through the then Pope's mind. The then Pope was Pope Benedict XV. And on August the 5th, 1920, sensing the urgency of the situation that Poland was in, he exhorted all the faithful to pray, quotes, "for God's mercy for Poland." And he went on to say, to join all the faithful in imploring the Most High God that through the intercession of the Most Blessed Virgin Mary may save the Polish nation from her final defeat and may turn away this new plague from Europe. Now, those words of Pope Benedict XV are strong words. He's asking for two things: God's mercy upon Poland, but also imploring the intercession of the Blessed Mother. to save Poland from her final defeat, but also to stop Europe from having to succumb to the plague of communism and world revolution and all the division and all the bloodshed that that would bring. Now, with no military aid offered from abroad, Poland's then leader was a General Pilsudski. And he realized very quickly that this would be his nation's last stand. So, after spending a night in prayer, Pilsudski began to assemble his soldiers, as many as could be spared for a major assault on the Soviet left flank. The plan appeared foolhardy, to say the least. Military historians would probably describe it as an imprudent last-ditch attempt at survival, because that's what it was. Poland was outnumbered. Its military had made no inroads into the invading Soviet army. The Soviet army was well-armed, determined, and had a revolutionary fervor about it, which made it very difficult to contend with. It seemed inevitable that they would push through the whole of Poland, occupy Warsaw, and move on to Germany and so on to France and England. This looked like an inevitability. So much so that on August 10th, now remember the Pope spoke on August 5th, on August 10th, the British government spoke. Yes, the British government sent a telegram to the Polish government. Now, what do you think that said? Do you think the British now had decided to that they would help the Poles? That they would stand with Poland in their hour of need? Not a bit of it. They told the Poles to surrender. That's right. They told the Polish government to surrender to avoid annihilation. One can only imagine what reaction there was amongst the Poles to the British offer of advice, shall we say. Instead, Pilsudski continued to handpick his favorite military divisions that were assembling near Lublin to join him in this proposed counterattack, scheduled to begin on August 17th. Now, at this point, there were over 100,000 Soviet army soldiers rampaging through Poland. 100,000. That's quite an army. And as I said, they were filled with revolutionary fervor and were on their way to Warsaw with one intent. They were going to destroy it. That was Lenin's plan. And they wanted to massacre, no doubt, many of the people there, because Poland for them represented Catholicism, I guess. Not just the anti-revolutionary spirit, but it was a Catholic country. August 12th arrived, and Pilsudski left Warsaw. And he left to assemble his military battalions together for the strike force, this strike force that was going to counterattack the Soviets. And as he left his home in Warsaw, it said that he turned to his wife, Alexandra, and he said, "It's in God's hands. It's in God's hands." August 13th. And there's a reason why I'm focusing on the dates, but you're probably also doing so, and you've probably also gathered why, maybe, or you will do. August 13th, the Soviets begin their final assault on Warsaw. Now, for those of you who know this, forgive me, for those of you who don't, let me try and explain as best I can. Armies build up to a point where they are assembled and ready for these kind of assaults, especially on cities. So the Red Army had been moving towards Warsaw for weeks, if not months, and was now ready for the final assault. Now, up until this point, they had met little resistance in much of Poland, and their initial assault on Warsaw was exactly the same. In the outer suburbs in the southeast and south northwest of the city, they met very little resistance. There was very little Polish military there to stop their march into the center of Warsaw. In fact, it wasn't so much that there was a Polish army there to fight them, but the Polish army seemed to be in total disarray and were in flight from the Soviets. Now, it wasn't just the ground assault that was happening, because the Soviet artillery had been lined up on the outskirts of Warsaw, and that began to unleash a devastating bombardment upon all those people now left in central Warsaw. Now, we've seen photographs in pictures in recent times of places in Ukraine or in cities in Syria, for example, who have been subject to this kind of bombardment. And it's absolutely terrifying to civilian populations. And Warsaw in the summer of 1920 was no different. It began to take on a surreal appearance, it is said, because the city was swollen with terrified refugees. People were fleeing into the center of the city from the Soviet army. So people were camped out in public parks next to the hastily prepared and wholly inadequate defenses. It's said that a special train carrying almost the entire foreign diplomatic corps left the capital bound for another Polish city, Poznan. They were getting out while the going was good. So the British ambassador, the American ambassador, the French ambassador, they said, "We're out of here." And they all boarded the train and headed off. With one exception. One of the few foreigners who remained was Poland's then papal nuncio. And his name was Cardinal Achille Ratti. And Cardinal Achille Ratti would become the future Pope Pius XI. So what did he do? Well, Cardinal Ratti didn't just stay behind. He organized a perpetual prayer for deliverance. And it's said that with monstrance held high, he led a Eucharistic procession through Warsaw streets as the Soviet shells rained down upon it. Just picture that for a moment. The future Pope Pius XI at the head of a Eucharistic procession as Soviet communist bombs exploded all around, praying all the time for deliverance, doing what the then Pope Benedict XV had asked for, that people call down God's mercy and invoke the intercession of our Blessed Mother to save Poland. Now, while that was going on in Warsaw, the Polish generals that were there in Warsaw saw that it was a case that the city was about to fall militarily. It could not hold out. So they sent a message to Pilsudski. Do you remember the general who was about to have this counterattack, a flanking maneuver? And they urgently telegraphed him and said, "You've got to attack now. You can't hold on. It was going to be the August 17th when the proposed attack. You must attack now. Otherwise, the city will be finished." When Pilsudski got this telegram, he was really quite shocked to hear, even in a few days, about the rapid deterioration of conditions in the Polish capital. So it left him with no choice. He had to launch a counterattack. However ill-prepared the Polish troops were, he would have to counterattack, otherwise Poland as a nation would disappear. So, the day was the morning of August 15th, another great Marian feast, right? The Feast of the Assumption. And that morning started with wave upon wave of Soviet soldiers attacking Warsaw. Yet that morning, from within the city, Polish forces managed somehow to stem their advance. And then, against all odds, listen to this, against all odds, the Polish army began to retake ground that the Red Army, the Soviets, had won. The Soviets started to wonder how the Polish army, which they had seen defeated week after week after week since they invaded in May, how had it begun to fight back with such fresh heart against a militarily superior foe? The Soviet generals ordered a counterattack, but it proved futile. The Red Army was seemingly unable to vanquish these defending Poles. In fact, as the day of August 15th progressed, Polish soldiers seemed to become bolder in a counterattack. Now that day, strange rumors began to circulate throughout Warsaw. Some claimed that in the sky above the Polish lines, there had appeared an image. That image was the Black Madonna of Częstochowa. While the Polish forces may have fought with new resolve, the Soviet army curiously lost their resolve. One Russian rifleman was later to comment that by the afternoon of August 15th, quote, the moment had come when not only individual units, but the whole mass of the army suddenly lost faith in the possibility of success against the enemy. It was as though a cord had been stretching since the invasion, and suddenly it snapped. To relieve Warsaw and break the Soviet advance for good, the counterattack had begun with Pulsetsky at its head. Now he expected to discover significant Soviet force countering his counterattack. But the charging Poles were surprised to find their path mysteriously clear. As they advanced further and further, they found themselves all but unopposed. Now, General Pulsetsky worried that the Soviets were setting up some sort of trap, that they were planning to encircle his men with a superior force once they had advanced sufficiently, and escape was therefore impossible. Yet for almost 2 days, the Polish forces raced onward, brushing aside what few Bolshevik units they encountered. Pulsetsky could not believe his eyes. On the night of August 17th, the Polish forces finally made contact with some significant concentration of Soviet troops. But even then, the Soviets were taken unawares by the sudden appearance of this major Polish force. The outcome for the Red Army was catastrophic. Many were killed, including large numbers of high-ranking officers. On the banks of the Vistula River, the Polish strike force effectively eliminated the massed Soviet troops, as well as disrupting their communication lines, thus preventing incoming Soviet reserves from reaching Warsaw. In the days that followed, the seemingly invincible Red Army had to slouch back eastward from whence it had come. On hearing of what had happened on the banks of the Vistula, Lenin declared that the army had suffered, quotes, an enormous defeat. And he promptly put on hold his plans for a bloody world revolution. It is said that many Poles returned to the shrine of Częstochowa. and again candles were lit. Once more, to cast a faint glow upon the enigmatic face of the Black Madonna. Now, many years later, Pope John Paul II, who we know was Polish, wrote the following. You know that I was born in 1920, in May, when Bolsheviks marched towards Warsaw. And that's why, since my birth, I have carried the great debt towards those who died fighting against the aggressor and who won, giving their lives for their country. And the Pope went on to say, then communism appeared as very strong and dangerous. It seemed that the communists would conquer Poland and would march to Western Europe, that they would conquer the world. But it did not happen. The miracle on the Vistula, the victory of Marshal Pilsudski in the battle against the Red Army, stopped the Soviets. Even today, in textbooks about the war, you will read about the miracle of Vistula. The historians won't be as explicit as I am about it, but they can't get away from it. It's called the miracle of Vistula, how the Polish army suddenly found the way and the means to defeat the superior forces of communist Russia. So be of good heart. God doesn't lose battles. And Our Lady is a wonderful general. She will help us. On another occasion, I'll tell you about just how much maybe Our Lady played a part in the fall of world communism in a very uncanny way. But today, it's a day of celebration, the Immaculate Conception and Our Lady. And thank you so much for taking some time to be with me during it. We'll do it all again tomorrow, same time, same place. So, until then, may God bless you and have a wonderful feast day. And keep each other in prayer. God bless you.